From the Land de Grande University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 17th day of August, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll check the crop tour that's been taking place across the Midwest with Sherman Newland, Andy Wald, and Brian Grady. We'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day and the agricultural energies with Dave Chatterton. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today at $5.58 and a quarter, down 6.5 cents. December at $5.63 and a half, 5 and a quarter lower. In the March at $5.71, down 5 and a quarter cents. September soybeans 7 lower at $13.69. November $13.61 and a half, down 6 and 3 quarters. In January $13.65 and a half, down 6 and 3 quarters of a cent. Bean meal futures at $3.60.10, up 70 cents for the day. The bean oil at $62.54, 75 cents lower. Wheat futures soft red in the December at $7.29 and a quarter, down 20. And the hard red finished down 26 at $7.34 and 3 quarters of a cent. Live cattle futures at $128.12 and a half, a dollar lower. Feeder cattle at $164.27 and a half, 67 and a half cents lower on the day. And lean hogs at $87.90, down $1.10 for the afternoon. Crude oil down 59 cents a barrel at $66.71. Gasoline on the RBOB at $2.04 and 4 tenths. That's down 2 and 2 tenths of a cent per gallon, and diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.03 and 9 cents, just about unchanged for the day. Wayne Nelson now joins us from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to discuss what happened in Chicago on this Tuesday. Hi, Wayne. Thank you for being with us. Let's start with the numbers that have been coming out of the Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour. We'll have more details later in the program, but gosh, it looks like they're finding some really good figures in your state.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, yesterday we started off with South Dakota 151.45 on the corn. You know, that doesn't sound that good, but it's better than what they were expecting. In Ohio 185.6. So, you know, just some good numbers yesterday. And then today, boy, you know, I've told you all along that we've had the best crop in Indiana to seen in my lifetime, and you know, they're finding it. It's there, and it's doing good. So, you know, that compounded with a little better weather forecast for the remainder of this week and next week, and as I look at the screen, I look at the closes, all I see is red.
Kind of, I suppose, to be expected given the numbers they're seeing out of the field. However, nearly expected, I think, because we're in the end of August, and we do have to kind of change from old crop to new crop eventually. The old crop's hung on for a very long time.
Yeah, we had a premium for the front month that's been there for ages now, is what you'd have to say in the markets as far as it goes, and really demand for that. You know, we had yesterday, we thought, well, we could possibly get a little bump overnight with the crop ratings going down 3% in beans and 2% in corn, but basically this time of year, crop ratings go down because as it matures, it just doesn't look quite as pretty. So a lot of times we'll see that happen anyhow going on. But no, I think we're looking at this. We did see a purchase by China and a purchase on unknown in beans. It's, you know, small numbers, way behind last year's what they're doing. You know, but just a lot of things in the international trade screwed up. One of the big container ports shut down because of COVID restrictions in China, and that's going to screw up some more shipping, receiving, and getting stuff around. So once again, we sort of put a bottleneck in our shipping of things to and from our country.
Yeah, so demand could be a problem going forward, at least on the export market, I suppose. Internally, things still looking okay?
Oh, I think that, you know, we're seeing a shortage of a lot of things in different places, but all in all, while we're doing okay, you know, the water down in Argentina in the rivers is for them to load out and do things, gives us a little bit of a advantage because of the freight's getting higher. But unfortunately, freight's getting higher all around the world because of the bottlenecks and what's going on. And it's going to raise prices on a lot of things because of our higher freight.
What are farmers telling you about their thoughts as we head into harvest and where they expect to market?
You know, I think a lot of them are sitting tight here. We're just a little worried here. We'd like to have one more rain to finish off and keep our crop, you know, in a tip-top area. But I think if we could see a little rally here taking the corn, you know, if they take it up towards that 580 to 590 mark again, I think we'd see some farmers willing to sell a little more corn. They're sitting back here waiting to see if the rain comes along into the week and into next week to see if they'll maybe sell it at a little lower level.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. You can hear him again on our website, where at willag.org, willag.org. Well, the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is underway this week, and if you'd like, you can keep up with it on our website at willag.org with our Crop Tour Tracker. In it, you'll find the latest tweets from many of the scouts, along with information that comes from Pro Farmer and the updated yield estimates for each state, actually for just a portion of the state or that portion that the tour covers. As Brian Grady explains in this bit of audio that he dropped out for us last night, recapping what the tour scouts found in the states of Ohio and South Dakota.
In the state of Ohio, we had a average corn yield of 185.1 bushels per acre. So that was up 10.4% from what we found last year on Crop Tour, and a big number. And quite honestly, the Ohio corn crop doesn't look like your traditional Ohio corn crop. It looks more like you would see in Indiana. The ear counts, the big driver was ear counts, but grain length was also up. So we had high ear counts and high grain length, and that's how you produce a big yield. Now, USDA on August 1 put a record yield on the state of Ohio, so we should have found some good results out here, and we did. Now the question is, will they live up to USDA's billing? And that's something that Pro Farmer will have to decide as we put an estimate on the state at the end of the week, which is our estimate aside from the Crop Tour data. But the Crop Tour data, more ears, bigger grain length, and a bigger yield by 10.4% from what we found last year on Crop Tour. Soybeans also expected to produce a record based on USDA's August 1 estimate here in the state of Ohio. We saw pod counts in a 3 foot by 3 foot square up 3.4% from what they were last year. And it's a heavily podded soybean crop. Now the question is, how many of those pods produce soybeans? How big and plump will the soybeans be? And they need rain to get that. And many of the scouts got rained on here on the first day of the crop tour. So that's good. I was in the northern part of the state, and there was ponding in some of the low-lying areas and those types of things, heavy overnight rain. So definitely got the moisture they need for now. Probably need one more rain to finish out the crop here in Ohio. Switching over to the western side from South Dakota, probably no big surprise here given the drought situation that they've gone through. Now keep in mind, we're only sampling out of the southeastern portion of the state. We don't get into the other portions of the state, but the average yield came in at 151.5 bushels per acre, down 15.5% from what we found last year. You know, probably not a big surprise. The grain length was down big time. Showing the stress, tip back on ears and those types of things. What may be a little bit surprising is that the ear counts were down only slightly. So the ears are out there, they just don't have enough grain to produce the type of yield that South Dakota had last year by any means, significantly hurt. And you know, we kind of know that with the drought situation and everything. On South Dakota soybeans, pods in a 3 foot by 3 foot square, 996.9, that was down 20.3%. Now, keep in mind, last year's South Dakota soybean crop was heavily podded. So we're comparing a lightly podded crop to something that was very heavily podded last year. No surprise, the soil moisture was down big time. There was slight reduction in growth stage versus year ago, And you know, the pods just aren't there to produce that much of a yield in South Dakota this year.
That was Brian Grady. He's the editor of the Pro Farmer newsletter and leading the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. One of the scouts that's been out and about this week is traveling through Nebraska today, I believe. That's Sherman Newland. He is with Risk Management Commodities. Sherman, thank you for being with us. You are in Nebraska?
Yes, yes, yeah. We've been in three different counties so far, heading to Nebraska City. We're about 20 miles west of Wahoo right now.
And how far have you traveled, and what have you seen?
Like I said, we've been in the four different counties, actually. Everything's been pretty well irrigated, kind of what we were expecting as far as corn goes. Some of the stops have been, first one was only 153, but we saw some green snap. Well, that's the only field we've really seen much green snap in. But then we've a lot of around 200, 205, 206. Last stop was 224, so pretty good population on most of them. One field had some tip back that we were kind of surprised at. That was irrigated. It had a couple of inches of tip back, at least the way it looked. But from what we talked to a local farmer that came by and stopped and talked with us, he said it was mostly heat that caused that, because they had about 2 weeks of almost 100 degree temperatures out here. And so pod counts, though, as far as those go, those are on the high end. I think we're, 3% above average, if I remember right? A little bit above average on pod counts. So kind of expected that, especially in the irrigated parts.
You're traveling with Karen Braun and Ted Seifried, is that right?
Yes.
So you've got a pretty good crew there that people can watch on their Twitter feeds. If they'd like, they can check that out, that's for sure.
Yes.
Do the three of you agree that it's a pretty decent crop so far in Nebraska?
Yeah, we're all, not really surprised, I don't think. I mean, it's kind of what we're expecting. I mean, it kind of goes along with what USDA was saying, or NASS, as far as their yield estimates, what it's looking here at the moment, from what we've seen on our route.
What's your route for the rest of the day and into tomorrow?
Well, we'll just, like I said, we'll turn south here eventually after we get to Wahoo, and then just wander our way down to Nebraska. We got stops all the way there to make. We don't have somebody else helping us on this route. So, and then tomorrow, I haven't looked at the route, but we are headed to Spencer, Iowa. I'm not sure what route exactly we do have, but that'll be a long day too.
Yeah, that will be a long drive from where you are. Good luck. Thank you for being with us today.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Sherman Newland is with Risk Management Commodities and traveling this week on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. He joins us regularly on our Commodity Week program. One of our special guests on the program has been Andy Wald in the past. He's with Producers Hedge out of Leland, Illinois, and is traveling on the eastern leg of the tour through the state of Indiana today, I believe. Andy, thank you for being with us. Can you tell me what you found?
Yeah, yesterday we had a half route in Indiana that started us just east of Fort Wayne, and we stair-stepped our way down towards Noblesville last night. And this morning we covered basically central Indiana. We ran north, from Noblesville up to Wabash, over to Rochester, and back down to Logansport, where we picked up 24. And now we're just finishing up our route near Walcott.
What did you find in the eastern half of Indiana when you traveled from Fort Wayne to Indianapolis?
On the eastern part of the state, we found some really good corn. Our route averaged right at 218. We had some really good stuff. On the bottom end, maybe about 157. There's a number here that I don't even want to say out loud that was pretty good, but a lot of 200 bushel corn over there.
You must have had a well above 200 if you averaged 218 and had a 157. Once you moved into the western side of the Indiana, did things continue to be as good?
This morning we started with a lot of 200 bushel corn, but where we're finishing up now, we're back into the ones. Right here, it's pretty dry. There's corn. The sample we just took is starting to dry down. It went 162. Our low today was 133 up in Cass County. But average for today is 194.
What's your perception of both the corn and soybean crops in general for the state?
In general, I think this corn crop over here is the best I've ever seen in Indiana. On the bean side, eastern Indiana's beans are very variable. I don't know if they've just had too much rain off and on And you can just see it out across from the height. There's short beans, tall beans. Pod counts are just all over the place. I think as we've come here to the west, I think the beans have gotten a little bit better, actually.
Thanks, Andy. We'll check in with you again tomorrow as you travel through the state of Illinois, too.
Yes. Yep. That'd be great.
All right, Andy. Thank you so much. That's Andy Wald. He is with Producers Hedge from Leland, Illinois, and traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Let's start with weather in your part of the world because sometimes it makes its way to us. Give me an update of what's happening there in Cheyenne.
Well, first of all, there's been a lot of heat, as we know, and dryness out west and a lot of wildfire activity. But things are about to change. In fact, there's going to be some significant relief for some parts of the northern plains, northern Rockies, as a very large and pretty strong storm system for this early in the season. It could be moving into Idaho, Montana, Yellowstone National Park tonight and tomorrow, and that's going to bring a big cool down to the interior west. In fact, temperatures could be as much as 20 to 25 degrees below normal as far south as portions of western Nebraska by Friday. And some of that cool air and the rain associated with it is going to spread into some areas of the upper Midwest and also the northern and western areas of the Corn Belt as we go into the end of the week and the upcoming weekend. What we'll see basically is sort of a reversal of fortune. The very warm and dry interior west as of late, that heat will shift into the eastern side of the United States while the west starts to cool off.
And so what will weather be like in my part of the world in that case?
Well, you are right in between. And what that means, if you're right in between, you're going to get some weather. And we certainly do see an increase in shower and thunderstorm activity. It's going to take a few days for this weather to migrate south and east into the region. But we're expecting that as early as probably Thursday, we're going to start to see shower and thunderstorm activity develop across the lower parts of the southern half of the Corn Belt. And that means southern Illinois, southern Indiana, Ohio, parts of southern Missouri will see showers and thunderstorms. And then coming in from the northwest, the eastern Dakotas, the very dry areas of Minnesota, eastern Nebraska, and parts of northern Iowa, this weekend we'll get to see some shower and thunderstorm activity moving on in, along with some cooler temperatures. And that may carry forward into early next week. So by the time we go from about a week from now, most of the Midwest and Corn Belt is going to see some good chances of rain, especially late this week through the middle of next week.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Each Tuesday, we check the agricultural energy markets. Dave Chatterton is now here. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Dave, thanks for joining us. Tell me a little bit about the ag energy market as it relates to crude oil and OPEC, please.
It's been kind of an interesting, dance, if you will. This was the first time, just last week that we saw the Biden administration approach OPEC and ask them to produce more oil. And this comes at a time politically, when the administration is moving on domestic soil anyway to kind of limit leases, keep production in check, move to a green project. So I guess kind of a little bit of a opposite ends of the spectrum type of an argument there. But OPEC, is sticking to the very close to their agreement. They are increasing their production, but really until this month, that production had not kept up with the rise in demand. Just this month, though, we've seen some changes here. I think the Delta variant here combined with China's, the government, the Chinese government's move to control inflation and commodity prices has kind of slowed things down there. We saw their factory orders, their retail numbers dip pretty sharply here. We saw their crude throughputs for last month go to the lowest that we've seen since early 2020. And in doing so, China is the second biggest, fuel user in the world, and they're the biggest importer of oil in the globe here currently. So certainly an important thing to keep an eye on here globally as far as what's going on and how it affects our prices here, Todd.
Changes in the geopolitical arena in the Middle East always have a ripple effect into the oil industry. Do you see any impact as it relates to the developments in Afghanistan?
Well, not in the near term here. I think it's more of a longer-term consequence of where we go. And you look at some of these states, when Afghanistan, you know, maybe Iran and some of these other regimes that are, you know, responsible for some of the attacks in the Gulf here on fuel tankers of late and different things like that, infrastructure in Saudi Arabia. And so it's always a constant kind of boiling pot in that situation. You know, near term, I think the economic situation, particularly in Asia and China, and a potential slowdown in this rebound has really been the focus of the market. If you look at where we got, you know, prices, you know, as recently as late last month, were up as high as they had been since really October of 2018 for both, you know, crude oil, gasoline, diesel fuel, et cetera. And we've walked our way back by about 8 to 10% since that time, Todd. But, you know, we're still, relatively speaking, these are pretty elevated prices. And, you know, we're looking at supplies that remain tight, the logistical issues that remain in focus. So it's something I think we're going to be dealing with here for a while.
One of the things that is produced from energy are fertilizers. What have you been following there?
Yeah, I mean, similar to what we saw, let's say, with crude oil, you know, natural gas prices also the highest that they've gotten to since about December of 2018. And, you know, and at least in early August here, and they've faded back just a little bit. But, you know, FarmDuck, I think, got this conversation started last month when they started looking at the estimates for next year, and their fertilizer costs are up 22% year over year for a central Illinois farmer. And, you know, inventories have come down here. Natural gas prices have gravitated higher. Crude oil prices have gravitated higher. So we're in a little bit of a different situation here going forward. So, you know, we've got hurricane season starting up here. When you look at some of these values for next year, I mean, at least in the CME swap market, you've got a urea for March 22 at $436 a ton. That's out of the Gulf. You've got DAP for March at $595. You've got UAN at $326. So those numbers are definitely, obviously, you know, on the upswing here. And we don't know exactly where they're going to land for next year. But, you know, the political equation has now been introduced to the fertilizer crisis as well. We've got, you know, moves by the Biden administration against Belarus, which is 15% of the global potash market. We've got some complaints being filed against Russia and Trinidad on the UAN front. So a lot of turmoil, I think, in that market right now. And with the higher grain prices, we're definitely seeing a pretty large jump in some of the fertilizer quotes that we're seeing for next spring, Todd.
And finally, with the short supply of corn in the Western Corn Belt and the large number of ethanol plants there, what have you been watching on that front?
A couple of things in there. I mean, you know, when we look at the profitability, definitely a more profitable situation to be, or, you know, to be producing ethanol here in the Eastern Corn Belt than it is in the West right now because of that corn basis and the availability. I've seen some plants shut down. We've seen others move up their what would be their typical fall maintenance schedule, a month or two, and kind of just waiting out for new crop. I think we're on the doorstep of that new crop now, but, you know, ethanol, we've seen gasoline demand in the U.S. eclipse that pre-COVID level back in early July, but it has slumped back down since that time point. Still rather steady at around 9.4 million barrels a day. It got as high as 10 million barrels a day here, like I said, in July. But we're going to continue to need ethanol despite kind of the political issue that has attached itself to that as well. So margins are kind of, they continue to bounce around. I think they're generally kind of mid-range here of where they've been in the high-low range for the year. But it is a very much an east versus west type of a sentiment here at the current time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Dave Chatterton. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.